Box is a Wyoming native. He's worked as a ranch hand, surveyor, fishing guide, a small-town newspaper reporter, and editor. An avid outdoorsman, CJ has hunted, fished, hiked, ridden, and skied throughout Wyoming and the Mountain West. And lucky for thriller lovers, he's the best-selling author of 18 novels, including the Joe Pickett series. He's won the Edgar Allan Poe Award for Best Novel and the Anthony, the McCavity, and the Gumshoe Award, among many others. Over 6 million copies of his novels have been sold in the U.S. alone. Today, we'll welcome CJ back to the program to speak about Endangered, number 15 in the Joe Pickett series. Hello, CJ, and thank you so much for joining us again on the Book Report.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Tell us about Joe Pickett and how he has evolved from book one to book 15.
Well, Joe Pickett is a Wyoming game warden, and game wardens in Wyoming have huge districts and territories, in this case, 5,000 square miles. And game wardens are charged with enforcing the game and fish regulations of the state, but they're also involved in all sorts of other things, crimes. They assist state patrol, they assist local law enforcement. And Joe Pickett was introduced in the very first book, Open Season. And that's because what I was very interested in writing about was how the endangered species law sometimes goes awry on the ground where it's intended. And in order to write that story, I originally had a sheriff and then a journalist as a protagonist, but I realized that a game warden would be a much better conduit into that story because they would be involved with it in the field. And luckily, when the publishers decided to publish it in New York, they wanted two more books with Joe Pickett, and the series was born from there. And now we're at book 15.
Right. And how central are environmental issues to the popularity of the series?
They're integral to it. I always start with that. I have since the very first book, is I figure out which issue I want to research and make it about, and then I figure out a plot, in effect, to pull a reader through that issue or controversy in what I hope is a page-turning way. In Endangered, the issue is sage grouse, which is a chicken-sized bird that is in 7 or 8 western states that may be declared endangered by the federal government. If that happens, it would really affect the economies of all of the states, most of all Wyoming, which has half of the sage grouse in the U.S.
I have to tell you, lots of us East Coasters get totally freaked out by the thought of survivalists holed up in the woods. We automatically think Ted Kaczynski. Are Westerners more tolerant of recluses, and if so, why?
Well, I think they are because they've always been there. You know, when it's the end of the road, that tends to be where the most extreme of the people kind of gather. And if people want to be survivalists and hole up with their guns, they naturally kind of head west. And they're out there. You know, I've seen them. I've met them. I used to interview them. There aren't lots of them, but there's enough. And part of it is because everyone's very tolerant of you know, guns and individuality. So it's not that unusual.
You write that Wyoming has a larger per capita membership in the Tea Party than any other state. Is that factual? And if so, how scary is that?
Well, I've seen that statistic. I can't vouch for it, but I included it in the book because I thought it was interesting.
And frightening. Is there actually a group called the 9/11 Truthers, people who believe Bush and Cheney brought down the Twin Towers so they could invade Iraq for oil?
Absolutely there is. Yes, they're all over the place. I mean, what I mean is there are the truthers are in across the country. It's definitely a thing.
Well, Endangered has a truly twisted bad guy, the hideous and horrible Brenda Cates. I've often wondered, when you start writing or when ideas start percolating for a new story, does the villain ever come first?
Yes, the villain does come first because I build it from there. What's important, I think, and what I try to do and what I enjoy doing is to create a real legitimate motivation for the bad guy. Not to sympathize with him or her, but so that the reader kind of understands why they do the thing they do. In this case, Brenda Cates is kind of like a Ma Barker type who has her clan outside of town and pretty much manipulates and orders around her sons and her husband because she feels that the local community really doesn't respect them, and she has a chip on her shoulder, and she's upset the fact that her rodeo cowboy son is not celebrated in the community like she thinks he should be.
Right. She's a bad girl.
We're speaking with CJ Box on the Book Report.
In the book series, Joe ages in real time. Are there special challenges in writing this way?
I think there's special challenges because, you know, people in real life grow, change, mature. But I find it keeps the series interesting for me because both Joe Pickett and his family have grown and aged from the very first book. His oldest daughter, Sheridan, for example, who's very important in the very first book, she's 7 years old then, and in Endangered, she's a junior in college. So by kind of growing up with the family and having their personalities develop and be affected by things that happen in previous books, I think is rewarding for the reader, and it's fun for me to write.
Yeah, CJ, you have daughters. How scary was it for you to have Joe's oldest daughter horribly attacked at the start of this book?
Oh, it's scary. You know, it's every parent's nightmare, really. When your kid doesn't arrive home on time, and the phone rings, you immediately, at least I do, conjure up the worst possible scenario, and to pick up that phone and find out it's law enforcement on the other end is, I think, it scares every parent.
The governor of Wyoming is a recurring character in the series. Have you met Wyoming's current governor, and is he anything like Rulon?
No, I've certainly met Wyoming's governor and the previous governor as well. And no, they're not like that at all. But they enjoy the characters. They read the books. And the previous governor thought it was kind of based on him, which is what it was. I like the fact that they do follow the series.
Right. Are you involved at all with the production of the audio editions? I noticed that David Chandler has narrated the Joe Pickett series. Do you discuss the book with him before he begins it?
You know, I've never met him or talked to him.
Wow.
But what I do know is that people who listen to his narration of the books really enjoy him. And I hear that all the time, and I'm pleased.
Right. Joe Pickett is such a great character. Are there plans to bring him to TV or to a movie?
There's a team of producers headed up by executive producer Robert Redford, who are trying to place the show with a network or an outlet. And the way they want to do it, I'm very excited by, is that they want to go through the series book by book and do it in kind of a long form arc, which, if in fact that happens, would be perfect.
Do you think your fans differ from East Coast to West Coast?
Not that much. What's always interesting to me is what different questions I get on coast to coast. So many of them are about Wyoming and the Mountain West and the culture and the society, whereas in the Mountain West, they're more about the current issue that's in the book. So it just kind of depends.
What's next for you?
I have a standalone called Badlands that's set in the oil boom of North Dakota, and it's going to come out end of July this year. I'm really excited about that book.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to it. CJ, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.